Today on Family Talk.
Reflection and self-examination should be key components in every marriage. Many husbands and wives struggle with putting themselves in their spouse's shoes, so to speak, and understanding how their significant other thinks and feels. You're listening to Family Talk with your host, respected psychologist and world-renowned author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you're going to hear a conversation Dr. Dobson had with author and speaker Linda Dillo. Linda challenges women everywhere to ask themselves this risky question: what's it like to be married to me? That's also the title of her best-selling book on that topic. Dr. Dobson and Mrs. Dillo will be unpacking the lessons that can be learned from that question, and they'll highlight the differences between men and women. Here now is the first part of their discussion on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We're really fortunate to have Mrs. Linda Dillo with us today. She has been a missionary on three continents, along with her husband, Jody. But Linda, I met you because I interviewed you about 10 years ago. Or so.
We can't be old enough to have been doing something 10 years ago.
The years are going by in a hurry, I'll tell you that. You have four children.
I do.
And 10 grandchildren.
Isn't that a blessing?
Oh, my goodness. What a blessing.
It is.
We've got two, and I'm thankful for both of them. You've written a number of books, including Intimate Issues, and that was the book that I interviewed you about. You also co-wrote that book with Lorraine Pintus. But there was a time in your life when you weren't sure that you were going to be able to write again. Tell us that story. You really had a bump in the road along the way as an author.
5 years ago, Dr. Dobson, I fell down an entire staircase in an airport and landed on my head and woke up several hours later in a trauma hospital. This was in Southern California. And my husband flew out there and sat by my bed for 5 days. And doctor said, you have a severe brain injury. And for 2.5 years after my accident, I had no creative thoughts. It was like my brain needed everything just to try to learn a new way to live life. And 2.5 years after my accident, God just began to give me back creative thinking. And he just whispered to me that he wanted me to write on marriage. And I said, really, God? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes.
You have no doubt about the fact that what he gave you to write about here was given to you by him. The insight came from your spiritual concepts and the biblical ideas, didn't it?
It did. And I began asking myself dangerous questions early in our marriage. And God just whispered, why don't you ask other women those same questions that you've been asking yourself?
Well, I don't want to be too nosy with you, but what conclusions did you draw about yourself in your relationship with your husband? Mm-hmm. When you asked that question, what's it like to be married to me? Mm-hmm. What'd you decide?
That is a nosy question, but you can be nosy. You can be nosy. I decided that I was selfish. That I wanted my husband to respond to life like I did, because then life would be easier for me. Mm. And I decided that I was prideful, that I felt my way of living life was really better than my husband's, that being structured is really better than being flow with it, because structure makes me feel comfortable. And God just said, you know, Jody isn't wrong. He's different. And you're not right. You're different. And I want you to accept the differences and even delight in the differences and allow me to mold you into one flesh.
I think you've got something here for all of us to come to terms with. But you've already told us in my office a few minutes ago that some women have told you they threw the book away. They wouldn't let, they wouldn't read it.
No, they threw it against a wall and and threw it in the trash. Because one thing that I did early in my marriage and that I encourage the women to do is to think about who they want to become as a wife. What kind of a wife do you want to be in 20 years or in 30 years? And out of those thoughts and prayers to form a marriage purpose statement. And one of my friends just said, my marriage is so bad right now, I can't write a statement and say I'm going to try to live this for the rest of my life. So she threw it in the trash. And as we talked, she said, okay, I'll ask God what I could live for the next 3 months. I said, well, that's a start. That's a start. And so she wrote a series of I will forgive my husband because he had done some horrible things. I will seek today to love him. I will look at life through his eyes. And then at the bottom of it, she put from January through March 2011. I mean, God, you have me for 3 months, and my husband has me for 3 months. But do you know, after those 3 months, she sent me an email and said, I just added to the bottom of my marriage purpose statement, till death do us part. So God can get a hold of us when we pray. Really, God asks us to ask ourselves dangerous questions. We're to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. I mean, this is what David prayed. And really, asking dangerous questions is very biblical.
Have you ever had a woman say to you, what if I go on this self-improvement campaign? What if I try to conform myself to Scripture? What if I do everything I can to care for and love my husband and he doesn't match me on the other side? If there's no change in him, then what happens?
It's a really good question, and there are a lot of women that are in that very place. And what I say to them, Dr. Dobson, is I pray, I hope your husband will want to ask God dangerous questions for him. But whether he does or not, there's only one person that each of us can make secret choices for, and that is for me. And I want to be faithful to my God. And when I stand before him, I want to say, I did all I could do to be a wife to this man. And I can't answer for my husband, but I want to be faithful to God for me.
What's the difference, and you talk about this in your book, what's the difference in living by default versus living by design?
I think what we've been talking about getting the gripes out and getting gratitude in shows, all right, if I'm serious before God and I want to give respect and praise and encouragement to my husband, that's living by design. If I just don't care, I don't ever think about what comes out of my mouth, that's living by default.
I want to tell you what I was writing. I was trying to answer the question, why do so many women nag and gripe and complain? What is there in a female heart that makes that happen so commonly? And I've written down a few possible answers.
I'd like to hear those answers.
I want to know what yours are. The first one is, if I don't stay on him, he'll get worse. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to keep him from becoming intolerable, and I can hardly live with him the way he is now. Second, he could be so much better if he'd only try. I'm going to show him how to do it. Okay, that's two. Three, I am in such pain in this relationship. Please hear my heart. When she says to him, this is impossible. I can't deal with it. Why don't you change? She is really saying, I am in agony. I'm going through difficulties because I'm trying to love you and I'm having a hard time doing it. Number four, marriage is so different than what I expected it to be. I'm so disappointed with it. Perhaps I can make him what I need him to be. There's four. Yeah,
I think you should write a book.
it really comes out of the female heart, out of the sensitivity and the need for intimacy and the need for acceptance and the need for love. And when those needs are not met, the woman cries out for it. So you're really trying to say, even though there are these, these uncomfortable aspects of life as you know it, you can accomplish a lot by listening to the Lord, reading the Scripture, and working on yourself.
Right, because we can't work on the other person. I think your answers are good ones, but I'd add what I said God pointed out to me when I seriously looked inside many years ago, and that is that I am selfish and I was prideful. I really thought I knew what was best for my husband, and God's the one who knows what's best for him. We all sort of have a built-in reaction when someone criticizes us, and that's griping, right? Really is criticism. And so we just push back, and then you just have the wife pushing at the husband and the husband pushing back, and the cycle's got to stop.
One thing is sure, nagging and griping and complaining do not change a man. They make him want to dig in. It makes him angry. And that's not the answer. So there has to be a better way. And I think you've hit it. It may not be entirely fair to take all responsibility for your conflicts on yourself. Mm-hmm. It takes two to tangle. And the other side, the husbands have all kinds of flaws too. And we're acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. But you've got to start someplace. Mm-hmm. And thank God it's usually the women that are willing to work on it. This personal investigation that you're asking women to embark upon indeed feels quite dangerous, because it goes against human nature to examine ourselves in this way. But I think the Lord can really use it if we're willing to be open to Him and to see what He's saying to us. So I want to ask you, you are out there along with Dr. Julie Slattery speaking a great deal, and you're not only speaking to women, but you're hearing from them. What are they saying to you about this book? Does it offend them? You know, these are dangerous questions. Are people mad at you? And are they saying, I don't think I can do this? What are you hearing?
Dr. Dobson, I would say the majority are just very, very positive. One woman said recently, you know, a lot of Christian books are fluff. This isn't fluff. And it makes me think, and I need to think. And so thank you for making me think about the hard questions. And I just want women to have hope. I think a lot of women out there are pretty hopeless about marriage. And they look at the very sad statistics that Christian marriages end as often as marriages of those who aren't Christians. And they just think, shouldn't God make a difference? And I believe He does, and I know you all do too. And we just want to try to pour hope into wives and husbands that no marriage is beyond God's repair. And He's a God who recreates, and He can recreate marriages. I've watched Him do it. I was so excited when I was studying Proverbs 24, where it says, by wisdom a house is built, and by knowledge it's established. And that Hebrew word built, it means a recreation. It means to take something that's toppling over and make it stand straight again. And I just got on my knees and said, God, thank you, because you say by wisdom a house or a house of marriage is built. You can recreate in a couple who is willing. And it would be so wonderful if both the husband and the wife were willing at the same time. But God only needs one person to start. And so if a wife says, all right, I'll ask these dangerous questions, and God, would you change me? My prayer is that her husband would feel loved and respected, and that he would want to change. But there's another side of this, and that is that the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you will show by obeying me. And there is peace that comes in obedience. And if I am saying, Lord, I want to learn to love like you love, that delights his heart. But you know what? It also gives me peace inside, because I am doing what God has asked me to do. I have husbands come up to me and they just say, thank you, Linda. And particularly about the question, what's it like to make love with me? And that's a question women don't want to ask. But many husbands have come up and said, thank you. My wife is different because she asked that question.
You may remember in some of our earlier programs that were addressed in bringing up girls. At about 6 months to 18 months of age, there is this hormonal bath that changes the female brain. She will never again be as she was before or as her brother will be. His hormonal bath of testosterone occurred when he was about 8 weeks of age, referring to the gestational period. They will be forever different. And understanding each other is tough. It is hard because we're made differently, literally. And what the girl brain, what the female brain is like after that bath of estrogen is sensitivity and relationships becoming extremely important, and a desire to be loved and to be known and cherished, all of that. A guy grows up not feeling those things. So it's really strange that the Lord put characteristics within us that both draw us to each other. We can't get along without each other, and yet there is tension over who we are. And that's sort of what you're dealing with here.
It is. I think, too, that women are just very idealistic about relationships, and that we think, I've fallen in love with this man.
He's going to be everything.
He's going to be everything. He's going to fill my love gap that is so big in my heart. And when he doesn't measure up to this idealistic view of who the perfect man was to be, everything to us, then we want to change him to become that, because that's what marriage is supposed to be like.
Linda, you talk in your book about sexual intimacy, and that's a reflection of the differences between men and women, too.
Absolutely.
They have very different concepts of what that experience is to be like. And it behooves both partners to understand the spouse's different needs there. Describe what those needs are.
A woman wants a lot of physical touch that isn't sexual. She wants her husband to adore her. She wants relationship before sexual intimacy, whereas a man wants sexual intimacy and then relationship. And a woman absolutely cannot fathom that, because we want to connect, and we connect by talking and entering into each other's lives. And then I would love to give to you sexually. But for a man, it's exactly the opposite. And, You know, God didn't ask my opinion, but if he had, I would have suggested he make us more the same, not different. And yet he built in the sexual differences between men and women before the fall. And so he obviously thought this was a good way for us to learn to be a servant lover. I love the way the Message translates 1 Corinthians 7:4. It says that we are to serve one another, whether in bed or out, that we are to learn to look from the other person's perspective, and that God made my husband just the way he did, and God wants me to love him in every way, including physically. And hopefully he will look at me and see the great need I have for connection and relationship.
If it does not focus on the other person, it is the ultimately selfish perspective.
Yeah,
it's only when you are in tune with the other person's needs that there is a gratification that goes to both partners.
It's absolutely true.
Linda, when we were not on the air, I mentioned to you that books on marriage often lay down the same principles. They're said a different way and with different illustrations, but there's really very little that's entirely new in regard to an institution as old as marriage, which goes back to the Garden of Eden. You have really provided some food for thought here, and I am enjoying talking to you so much that I really would like to have you back with us. Would you be willing to do that?
I would be honored.
You have been listening to part one of a conversation featuring Dr. James Dobson and author Linda Dillo here on Family Talk. Linda's the author of the book, What's It Like to Be Married to Me? You can learn how to get a copy of Linda's book or any of her other works by visiting the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. While you're on our website, we also encourage you to check out our informative blog section. Our writers address various issues that impact the family, like rescuing a prodigal child, or spending more quality time in God's Word, reconnecting with your spouse, or how to talk with your kids about the tough topics of the day. So stop by our blog page at drjamesdobson.org, and you can read up on subjects that you're interested that you find there. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to be with us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Linda Dillo right here on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Commitment. Why is this simple concept missing from so many marriages today?
Here's Dr. James Dobson with Family Talk.
I read recently of a wedding ceremony where the bride and groom each pledged the words, "To stay with you for as long as I shall love you." I doubt if their marriage lasted very long. Romantic love, along with other emotions, may ebb and flow through the course of time. Commitment is the source of all stability in the marital relationship. It is the most important ingredient. But commitment isn't a feeling, it's a choice. Can you imagine a parent saying to his child, "I'll be your parent for as long as I shall love you"? That would hardly produce stability and well-being in the child. Nor does a wishy-washy philosophy create stability in a marriage. That's why the traditional wedding vows read, "In sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, for better or worse, forsaking all others, till death do us part." That's the real meaning of commitment. Emotion is the caboose on the train. The engine is a commitment of the will, which can steadily pull the relationship through all the ups and downs of everyday living.
To get involved, go to drjamesdobson.org.
Dr. Tim Clinton here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. You like listening on the go, maybe while you're working out or jogging down the street? We've got a special offer for you right now today. Download free the smartphone mobile app for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. It works with iPhones, iPads, Android devices, and best of all, you can get this program delivered to you every day, 24/7, 365. It's a great way to stay connected to Family Talk. And not only our broadcast, but you can join the conversation and our Family Talk Facebook page. Read blogs, watch videos on topics of faith, family, culture, and more. By the way, search for books and digital media in our resource center and a whole lot more. You can't beat free. Go to drjamesdobson.org. Download it today, drjamesdobson.org.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson inviting you to join us for our next edition of Family Talk. Every day we come to these microphones with someone in mind, whether it's a busy mom looking for tips on discipline or a husband who wants to learn more about connecting with his wife. We want to put an arm around your family in any way that we can. So join us next time for Family Talk, won't you?